I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. We are back with Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Today we have Dr. Elliot Justin, a medical doctor trained at Boston University. My wife would be happy to hear that since she grew up in the Boston area. He's founded and sold two healthcare companies and now is a CEO and founder of a company called FirmTech, the first sex tech company dedicated to improving men's erectile fitness. I blurbled that through because I may have some personal questions to ask you, Doctor, as we go through this. He's been married for 35 years. He's got three children, and he lives in Montana, my favorite state. So welcome, welcome.
I've actually been married for 37. It'll be 37
years. Now. Okay.
It was
nice.
Just 37 years.
Good for you. We're going on 39.
Yeah, we have a couple more on you, but you're in the club.
So you're 38, 39. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Okay. Pretty good.
Yes, I like the joke I like to say, we probably said this too many times, is the 17 happiest years of my life. You know, people, Julie doesn't laugh at it anymore. Some people laugh at that.
But I would say my 37 years of marriage, probably 35 have been happy.
I think that's probably right.
There are stresses that occur with kids and with moves and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Well, we're going to talk about one of those stresses in particular. But before we get to the technology and we get into the sexual health discussion, which really is going to be the focus of our discussion today and its impact on relationships, one of the things that I read in your materials that I frankly did not know, and I would like you to sort of extrapolate, talk a little bit about this, is what you've said is a direct correlation between men's sexual health and cardiac health, which I've found to be interesting, not knowing much about medicine. So can you tell us a little bit about that, if you would?
I didn't know. That's actually how I got into this. I mean, I've always really been interested in sex, but I never understood the correlation. So about 4 years ago, my background, emergency medicine physician, and short of a heart attack or stroke, there are few emergencies that concern a man as much as a limp penis, especially if it's limp for 2 or 3 days in a row. Most guys are ready to kill themselves at that point. But I never really understood the relationship between sexual health and cardiovascular health. So I had telemedicine companies, second oldest in the country, I have Teladoc, which I have sold subsequently. But that got me very interested in remote patient management technologies. What could be done to give paid people information at home to get control of their health without them going to the doctors, frankly? So about 4 years ago, a urology professor at the University of Utah asked me to come up with a way of counting the number of nocturnal erections that men have. I said, what the fuck for? Why do we care? Everyone knows about morning wood, but why do we care about the nocturnals? He said, well, actually, one is not enough. And a healthy man has 3 to 4 nocturnal erections per night, and it's a leading indicator of the cardiovascular health. The urologists call the penis the canary in the coal mine of cardiovascular disease. And I'm confident, since we're also working on a female device, it's going to be the same thing for the clitoris. It just hasn't been studied since Masters and Johnson. So leading indicator in medicine means it's predictive. In medicine, we treat associations. High blood pressure is associated with heart attack, but it's not predictive. If my blood pressure systolic goes from 130 to 150, it's not telling me I'm going to have a heart attack. It's just telling me I might have a problem. If a man goes from 3.5 nocturnal erections to one or less, that man has a 50% chance of having a heart attack in the next 2 years. So that's profound. That's predictive. Yeah. So the doctor told me this, I thought, wow, that's another vital sign. And that's a vital sign that'd be a lot more motivating to men about their health than how many steps I take yesterday, or my blood pressure's up five points, or I gained 2 pounds. Because sex is a profound motivator for men and for women. Women are about 5 seconds behind in acknowledging it. So
when he said this, Julie's 12 seconds behind, but we're going to let that pass.
My wife's about 15 seconds behind. So that's the Victorian side of her. She has another side as well, too. But
perfect.
So when he says to me, my thought was, well, that's that's it's really interesting. But why limit ourselves to nocturnal erections? Let's assess all erections, because what do men care more about—the ones that they're having when they're sleeping, or the ones they're having when they're having sex or trying to have sex? And that meant that we had to also reinvent what is called the cock ring, but I prefer to call it a rest ring. Why? Because cock ring kind of puts it in the genre of a sex toy. It's almost you can be dismissive about it. Mm-hmm. We don't, we don't talk about vibrators. They're kind of sex toys, but we don't like, that's a toy. No, a vibrator is actually a serious solution for a problem that men have, that men don't have that solution. And we'll get into that in just one moment. So I call it an erection ring. Mm-hmm. So the problem with erection rings, and they've made the same way for the last 150 years, they're these hard O-rings made out of silicone. Mm-hmm. They pinch, they're uncomfortable. They can't be worn safely more than 20 or 30 minutes. And you want them off. As soon as a man has an orgasm, he wants to dig the thing off and throw it off. So for me, this doctor at the University of Utah is now my chief medical officer. He, like most doctors, straight doctors that is what I call an erection ring or a cock ring virgin. I am not because one of the keys to my marriage, the last 37 years, is I married someone who's interested in sex toys. So, and by the way, I recommend that to all men who are considering getting married. Look for someone who's open-minded about sex toys. That should be up there with whatever guys' criteria are about looks.
We'll be sure to pass that along in the show notes, folks.
Yes. Good, yes, yeah. Yes. So you want to put that on your list.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. How you said that men who went from nocturnal erections, when that frequency dropped significantly, that was an indicator of a heart attack coming down the road. How did you determine that? How was that tested?
Sure, that's a great question. That test was determined by research done in the 1990s using a device called the Rigiscan. The Rigiscan is a frankly, it looks like some Dr. Frankenstein put in your penis. It has two rings that go around your penis. Their wires go off to a box. Oh, yeah. And they count the number of nocturnal erections that men are having who have significant erectile dysfunction. And then they correlated that with – they followed these men for a period of time, and they correlated that with their risk of having a heart attack. So it's old. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just want to understand further. So if men are having less erections in the night during their sleep, wouldn't it make sense that they're unhealthy, their blood flow isn't great, and naturally they would be more susceptible to having heart attacks?
They would be, but they might not know it. So, we're all on the road from fitness, I'll say sexual fitness. I use the phrase erectile fitness because we're a fitness-oriented culture. I don't like to talk about dysfunction. I'll discuss that in a moment. We're on the road from fitness to dysfunction. We all, men and women, would like to know, where are we on that road?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a dashboard. When we drive a car, we could be running out of gas and we have a 16th of a tank left, but we don't know it. We can speed along happily at 9,500 miles per hour because we don't know because things are great. We like to pay attention to those gauges before they show up, before we have a breakdown. Your tire gauge says your tire is down 10 PSI. Right. Well, you want to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. The engine light comes on. If you ignore it, you're an idiot. So when it comes to sexual health or health in general, mm-hmm. we're looking for early warning signs. When we go to the doctor, we expect that we are going to get certain screening tests, electrocardiogram, mm-hmm. lipoproteins, blood pressure. Not because we think, oh my God, the electrocardiogram shows I'm having a heart attack right now. We want to go beforehand and look for early warning signs. And that's what our device does. We live in this incredible age of healthcare wearables, smart watches, smart rings, Whoop, Apple, or blah, blah, blah. And because we're looking for data to tell us about problems mm-hmm. before they become problems.
Mm-hmm.
So with our device, that's what it can do. So ideally with our device, it isn't like you buy a device and say, oh shit, I got one nocturnal erection. I'm in big trouble. I can probably still perform sexually, but I might not be able to perform all that well, but I can still perform sexually. But ideally you want to say, hey, I got 3+ nocturnal erections. I'm good. And now I'm going to follow this on a regular basis, just the way I follow my blood pressure, other healthcare factors.
Okay. So say you get this device and you have it and you get a bad reading. what do you do about it?
Contact the bullets right away. No, we have notifications. So if someone buys our device initially, they will be and they have they're below baseline for their or below average for their age, they're notified. If they're significantly below, hey Elliot, man your age should be having 3.2 nocturnal erections per night. You are having 1.7. That's a significant change. And if this pattern persists, you need to see a doctor because you have significant cardiovascular or urologic risk. So people are using the data though differently. Okay. People are using the data for their own because people don't trust doctors. Mm-hmm. So what people are doing with our device is really interesting. One, they're on three medications that could potentially be affecting their sexual health: a blood pressure medication, an anti-anxiety medication, and maybe a flow medication for their prostate. And they don't want to talk to their doctors. They're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. People don't want to confront the doctors about, why do you put me on this medication? My dick doesn't work. No, when we tell people don't make any changes without talking to your doctor. Yeah. But I know people are making changes without that. If a man's considering testosterone replacement therapy, and every man over the age of 40, 50 should be thinking about it, as should every woman over the age of 40, 50 be thinking about it. Because testosterone is critical to not just sexual health, but our overall health. That said, if you can think about TRT, if you go to a doctor right now, the doctor will say, how's your sleep? How's your energy? How's your libido? Mm-hmm. Well, those are subjective factors. They're not objective factors about your sexual health. And so we give people objective data. Similarly, if what the doctor will do, because I don't usually go to doctors, but I want to experience what you would if you went to a doctor. Mm-hmm. The doctor said, your age, we'll target you to be at 600. I know from taking care of my patients and talking to our customers, you can be a man my age, I'm 72, could be in the exact same health that I'm in, relatively same health. He might respond to a different dose than me, but he wouldn't know it unless we're following it objectively and looking at how many nocturnal erections am I having, how hard are they, how long do they last, and as important when it comes to testosterone, at my age, I want to retain muscle. I want to gain muscle, ideally. Right. So it's so simple. Just all you got to do, what man has to do, if you think about TRT, is get our device, get a baseline for nocturnal health, sex health, and then put a tape measure around your bicep and around your pectoral muscles. That's objective. And now just go to the gym. How much weight are you moving? And then every couple of weeks, measure it. Are you gaining any girth in your muscles? That's the way we should be treating testosterone replacement therapy. And we don't. The medical community is dumb in many ways and is not taking advantage of the fact that, A, with our device, we've documented 5,000 erections. So there are people doing this. But with our device, it can be made objective. And the fact that we don't measure muscle flabbergasts me, because we should. So, I'm certain right now, if you told me that, hey, this podcast is going so well, Elliot, I'm going to wire you $10,000. My energy and libido are going to be great. I'm sleeping really well tonight.
Not going to happen, Elliot. The first part might happen, but not the 10,000. Yeah. Let me just drop back a little bit, because, in our first book, we talked about, we spoke a lot about the main issues of conflict that come up during a relationship. And certainly one of those areas is sex and intimacy. And so I want to take you back for a moment, and I want to talk about your device and how it works and the app and all of that. But I want to slide back for just a second to talking to your patient and your patient's partner, right? So here you have someone who's in your office or you're speaking with about a cock ring, and you've explained to them that that's not really what you want to call it. We're calling it something different, but nevertheless, it's something that they're putting around their penis. They've got a partner. They're having sexual issues, which are bleeding into the rest of their relationship. How do you have that discussion with those folks about how this can help them move forward in their relationship?
Well, bear in mind, I'm seeing two people in all my consultations, the video consultations. I open up my schedule 4 or 5 hours a week to speak to customers or prospective customers. Mm-hmm. One, for commercial reasons. I want to know why people buy the device. How can I make it better? What are they getting out of it? But then I also open up the to tell people, hey, if you buy the tech ring, you get one free consultation with me. Show me your data, and let's talk about your medical history, and let's talk about what your goals are. Mm-hmm. The other group in a very small concierge practice is people who already know about what I'm doing. So I'm not your ordinary doctor in an office.
Right, I get that. I understand that.
So people are motivated. The people come to me, have gone online. They know they're already either using the solution. They want to utilize it better. So it's not a hard conversation for me to have at all with people.
Is that a joke? It's not a hard conversation for you to have with people.
No, I can play. We have double time just going on.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah.
So I want to dive into something that's really important, especially in my field as a mental health therapist.
Let me get back to his question. Doctors don't ask any questions about people's sexual health.
Right.
People cannot look to doctors for the answers to their problems. So the doctors are uncomfortable talking about it, and they make no money talking about it. In the number one electronic health record in the United States is called Epic. Number two is Allscripts. Yep. Neither one of those systems has any questions about sexual health whatsoever. So there's no box to check. So, and your doctor is likely to be ignorant about sexual health as well too. So you're on your own. People need to find solutions on their own, and they need to understand that all men should put a ring on it.
Before Julie asks her question, I want to follow up with that. Okay, and I recognize that from my reading and looking at your background and so forth, that folks who reach out to you, these are not virgins, so to speak, who they know why they're coming to you. They know there's another double entendre. They know why they know why they're talking to you. But I gotta imagine that there's some degree of explaining why this should be a comfortable thing, and why it should, you know, how it's gonna help. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Let me get that at that with our biggest, our two biggest medical discoveries.
All right.
So we've documented 85,000 erections. This is probably the world's largest dick database. What were the
boner board?
Yeah. Well, we could have a leaderboard too. That's a whole other area. What were the doctors, myself included, expecting to see with this data? We're expecting to see a confirmation of our anticipated bias, basically. So the bias, the academic urologists who set the standard for care, they're seeing the sickest people in their practices. They're seeing people who struggle to get it up or can't get it up. But that's only 10 to 12% of men. That's not the general population. So these are the men who either have pump failure, they have congestive heart failure, they have angina, they have heart attacks. Mm-hmm. They're not pumping enough blood, or the arteries are narrow. They have arterial insufficiencies. So the PDE5 medications, Viagra, Cialis, they hope to dilate those arteries. They pull a little bit more blood in, although they're only marginally more effective than placebo in most men. But turns out that – so the anticipation of the doctors was as the incidence of erectile dysfunction goes up 10% per decade, by my age, 70%, that the firmness of nocturnal erections will go down. The number of nocturnal erections will go down. The firmness of sex erections will go down. And that's not happening. If you exclude the men who are really sick, 10-12% of them have bad heart disease. For most men, there's a little bit of tapering that occurs in the late 60s, early 70s, and it's not enough tapering that there should be difficulties with either masturbation or penetrative sex. But why men report more erectile dysfunction? One reason is we're misdefining erectile dysfunction. But why these men report more erectile dysfunction?
More medications, and that's what I wanted to talk is one about.
So we doctors prescribe two types of medications that are cock killers, three actually, but two are big ones. One are antihypertensives. Many antihypertensives interfere with sexual health, especially if you're taking two of them. And then we also prescribe antidepressants.
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
And they're bad. Yeah. But if a man gets an erection and loses it, he's getting enough blood in. The issue is not with the pump or the arteries. Every erection ends in blood leaving the penis. It can interfere with those, make it happen faster, as in, what do you mean my dick is too small? Said my wife. No, my wife doesn't say it. The baby's crying, or I'm worried about paying the mortgage, or I don't like the sexual position. There are things that, you know, that's a sympathetic nervous response. It's a fight flight reaction. We're not going to have sex. Or, gee, I've had one extra glass of wine or two extra cocktails, and now I'm worried. I have an I get an erection, but I'm worried I might lose it. Maybe I'll put off having sex. And then there are the medications that you just mentioned, antihypertensive, antidepressants, flow medication, mental prostate disease, recreational drugs, and it can be another factor as well, too. So, and disease. A lot of men my age, men your age, we've got mild hypertension. We've got some men have mild, mild diabetes, but it's not enough to keep the blood out of the penis, but it is enough to impact how quickly it leaves the penis. What's the answer? And it's an answer, the solution for that works for almost all men. It's an erection ring. Men need a mechanical solution, it turns out. And every man can prove this to himself. Men start experiencing at a much earlier age. Women want to complain, probably so, that there's not enough attention been paid to their sexual health. And they're absolutely right. But all the attention is paid to men's sexual health as well, too. Other than these PDE5 medications that aren't particularly effective. Think back to when you were young. When you're 14, 15 years old, you're a guy, you can come like eight, nine times in a day.
Yeah.
You're 30 years old.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. but when you're not much longer, when you're 25 or 30, you're down to three or four.
Yeah.
And then it just deteriorates from there. So we don't know why this happens. We do know that blood, though,
just
blood
is run out
the
of
penis
it.
Faster. Yeah. Blood is leaving the penis faster. Regardless, that's the end result. Hey, your wife is kind of attractive. If we were both 14 years old and we were holding hands, I probably would get an erection for an hour and a half because I'm a guy.
I still do, and I've been married for 30, almost 39 years.
We got to document that. You still get an erection holding hands. That's powerful.
I can almost get one while we're talking
you
now.
Hold his hand down there. It's holding a hand. Come on.
Yeah, hold his hand. Well, so I have a lot of clients that are on medications, Lexapro and other antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications, and it makes their dicks not work.
What do they do? They need to get off of them or adjust the dose. So we have people who are using our device to determine the right dose. Hey, my doctor wants me to take 300, maybe two, maybe I could break a pill in half or two thirds. Doctors, we shouldn't be surprised by learning that people are often taking fragments. So we have, I have a family member who used our device to significantly cut their antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications to a point where they felt they were still getting some relief, but it was not interfering with their ability to get erections. But those medications, no one has ever proven those medications are safe long term, and they certainly are habituating in many ways, and I think they're dangerous. And my hope is that with our technology, people will take less of them or be more reluctant to take them.
It's a difficult balance, I think, following up with Julie. For example, right? So I have a lot of sleep issues. I don't sleep well. So when do I sleep well? When I take a half a clonazepam or whatever the heck it is, and that helps me sleep.
But it's not good for me in the bed.
It's
long acting. I mean, my recommendation is take half a Zolpidem. Has less of an impact on it's not a benzodiazepine, so it has less of an impact on your sexual performance.
But when you have someone who's got a mental health issue, who's been prescribed medication that is helping that issue, whatever it may be, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whatever the heck it is, bipolar disease, whatever it is, and then they're listening to you and they want to get better in terms of their sexual abilities and performance, but at the same time, there's this wall there. What do I do?
Yeah, but often these people can take these medications for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And these medications have only been shown to be effective in short term. They've never been shown to be effective long term. There are no really good long term studies on the medications and the sexual effects. I wouldn't call it a side effect. It's an effect. Mm-hmm. The sexual effects are significant. So I have customers coming to me. Prospective customers coming to me and asking me, "What can this do?" Well, one, the ring alone can help them. If they get an erection and they are worried and they lose their erection, the ring alone is a mechanical solution and will help them to keep blood in the penis. And the ring can also address some of the confidence issues. That hey, I'm no longer worried about losing my erection. I'm not going to lose, or more to the point, I'm not going to lose it 100% of the time. I'm going to lose my list of time. I guess. Go ahead.
Can I understand? So this ring is, you have people wear it at night to sort of count how many erections?
Yeah, there are two rings. One is. Okay.
Tell who did the research here.
One is like is it like the aura ring that people wear
for their? It's an aura ring for when men really want a ring.
Okay. So there's that ring, and then you have another ring, which is
We have non-tech versions, correct? That really just for sexual performance. Although okay. The tech ring, here it is. That's the tech ring. It can be, if you want, if a man wants more pressure around the shaft of the penis, just pull through the loop and tighten it up. And when I use this, and I record my data 4 or 5 times a month, I don't need to record it regularly because I'm in good health. So just like I check my blood pressure once a week, I record this about once a week. And I try to have sex every night before I go to bed. It's a habit.
I'm going to start calling you a hero, but we're going to wait.
With yourself or with somebody else?
With my wife or by myself.
Okay.
She's good for 3 or 4 times a week.
Okay. She sounds like a good sport.
We'll make sure she listens to this.
Yeah. Good sport. Now she's taking testosterone. It's not a question of sport. It's a question of
good.
Desire.
It's good for you.
Sport of a different kind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And to your point, 4 years ago, she would have regarded it as being a good sport to a large degree. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't anymore because she now feels – this is a whole top topic. I'm confident that testosterone will become a standard of care for postmenopausal women in three years.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I am awaiting insurance approval for testosterone for myself right now.
Well, you don't have to wait. I can prescribe it for you if you want. So I prescribe.
Well, the prescription's already in. We're seeing if the insurance covers.
Okay.
Yeah. So the nurse practitioner that I see said sometimes they will cover it if they don't realize that I'm a female. So we're waiting on that.
Before we get to testosterone, though, I document 4 or 5 times a month. I have sex. I get that reading because I want, and then I go to sleep and I have nocturnals. So we're in the Google and Apple stores. It's an easy to use app. There are notifications. It could be, hey, Elliot, your erections are 30% less hard this month than they were last month. Has there been some change in your medication and, et cetera? If this problem persists, see a doctor. Or it could be, hey, bullets, my God, you guys are like rock. You guys are having more sex than anyone else in the East Coast, blah, blah, blah. And way to go. So
from your mouth to God's ears, my friend, but keep talking.
That sounds good.
By the way, the data is private. I couldn't actually say that. It would be personal. Yeah.
So tell us about sort of, like a success story or what you kind of see your technology, your work as a doctor, and how has it helped people? How has it helped relationships? Why should people want to hear more?
Because it saves their relationship. I mean, we've had 2 men get cardiac catheterizations because they're nocturnal. Erections were low that I'm aware of. We've had 1 man identify that he had an adrenal tumor. He's a young guy who couldn't perform sexually. He had more than just a low T. He had, and at the final workup, he had a tumor suppressing his production of testosterone. We have men who, I'll give you another example. These are your kind of patients. Guy's in his 60s. His wife is in her late 50s. He tells me, contacts me, say he spent $16,000 trying to get his penis to work. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, and it was interesting getting it out of him because he spent money on all the conventional stuff, shockwave therapy. He got Botox injection. He's taking testosterone. He's taking 10 to Cialis. Holding 10, 20 of Cialis, and he's not getting the response he wants. And no one ever asked him really to define when are you dysfunctional? What is really going on? And here's a story. It's really typical. Married a long time, gets hard, goes down his wife, loses erection while he's going down on her, and then after she has an orgasm, she wants him to penetrate her. He's like half, barely hard all. She doesn't want to do any work. She's in a post-orgasmic mood. And he tries to thrust, and then he loses erection, gets frustrated, and they both get cranky with each other. And she decides that his problem is they both decide that he has ED, he needs to get this massive workup. He told me that story, and I said, well, you don't Well, let me ask some more questions. How many kids your wife have? Well, she's had four kids. I said, so what positions do you lose your erection in? Well, she always wants to have sex in the missionary position or have or from behind. So, well, what happens to you in those positions? I don't get any friction. Well, okay, yeah, you're 60, whatever it was. She's 59. She's had four kids. You do two things. Get our tech ring and see whether you actually are performing at night. Mm-hmm. And this guy had three nocturnal erections, so he had no problem at night. So, well, then in that case, you know, he also bought our maximum performance ring, our ring for sex. And that ring keeps him hard in positions where he's not getting friction. It's changed his relationship with his wife. They are now. He was able to come with penetrative sex for the first time in a couple of years. He might not, you know, that might not be his favorite position, but he's able to stay hard in that position because the ring is keeping him hard, and the ring is also making his penis more sensitive because it's holding more blood in his penis. And he's, you know, calls you off the phone and says, "Gee, I spent $16,000. I could have come to you, spent $60, and." Yeah. The problem wouldn't fix because the damn doctors aren't asking the right questions, and they're not going to ask the right questions. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Elliott, saving one marriage at a time.
So if someone wants to start, you know, they say to themselves, okay, I looked at his website. I watched some of his videos. I'm looking at the product. I'm not sure I'm ready to be wearing something all night long and looking at an app. Is that someone that you would say, okay, well, listen, give this a try. Give the erection ring a try and see if it helps you.
Well, two things come to mind. We go to the American Urology Association conventions and the International Society for Sexual Medicine conventions. And we have a joke question that we ask doctors, which is, I can tell the difference. I can find out whether you're gay or straight with one question. Do you use an erection ring? And the gay doctors look at you like you're an idiot. Like, yeah, well, of course I use an erection ring. You know what? Like last night, you got a better one? And the straight doctors, the answer is almost invariably, I don't need that. It's like Superman kryptonite. Not me. You know, maybe some of my patients might need it, but I don't need that. Well, that's stupid. Because why is it stupid? I'm quite blunt with these guys. It's not about need. It's not what you need. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, I didn't need an erection ring. And 4 years later, I still don't need it. But my wife's idea of foreplay is to put on red lipstick and hold a ring in front of me. I'm easy. I'm a guy. It doesn't take much, Those two signals are enough. Why is it? Because with a ring, men need to understand this. Women, men with a ring, you will rock harder. What does that mean? Well, the ring increases my girth by 3 to 4 millimeters. Well, no one's going to walk by and say, "Oh, 3 to 4 millimeter girth, porn star." Look at that. You know, but that difference. That's more blood than I can get into my penis with a hand, a mouth, vagina, or, you know, or anything else. That means I'm going to have maximum sensitivity, maximum blood in my penis. The ring is also designed to put the right amount of pressure over the urethra. This is important. To draw out the ejaculatory phase. Women have vibrators and men have shit. They have these strokers, flashlights, and garbage that will never catch on. They're just for niches. I shouldn't say garbage. Mm-hmm. They're for niches. They work for some people. But they're never going to catch on. Massively, the way vibrators are caught on for women. So, but if you increase your ejaculatory phase, it's a more profound orgasm. So my ejaculatory phase with our maximum performance ring goes from 4 seconds to 7 seconds. Well, that's an incredible orgasm.
That's a big difference.
Because the overall sensations, the length of the glow, if you will, you know, the orgasm, the orgasm, the emotional satisfaction lasts even that much longer. Yeah. And my wife actually doesn't like to have sex with me without the ring. Why is that? This is because it's changed our marriage as well, too. Profoundly changed our marriage.
And
that's what I want people to hear. I mean,
so why is that? Because she's confident that I'm not going to lose my erection. So if I'm going down on her, let me just talk realistically about what people do, or if we're making out, or if we're having more indirect, you know, less direct, fun in bed. She knows I'm not going to lose my erection, and that's a really profound relief on her mind because she can now focus on her pleasures, not to worry about her. Hey, if I come, I got to come quickly because I got to work with him to get him hard again. Whatever. That's a profound relief. We now have sex. It used to be like 10-15 minutes. We now have sex regularly for like 30-40 minutes. This is not long. Wow. Why is that?
Because there isn't keeping. Yeah, David's going to start singing "You Are My Hero."
No, I make sure I don't call you at a particular time.
We need to make
time,
David, your hero. You know, yeah, so once you take testosterone, it's like you. So So there's no, the point being, there's no longer this rush to orgasm. We're all people. Right. I'm 71 years old. There's no longer this, hey, you're turned on, what vibe are you going to use? What position to have sex in? Let's get, get on. It's just, it's so much more relaxed. And I stay hard comfortably after I climax for 4 or 5 minutes. Well, that's a totally different mindset, because the male mindset is come and done. Hey, text me while we're fucking. Let's go have a drink. I want to puff a pot. Whatever it is, want, go to sleep. But if I'm hard, unlike with conventional rings, the rings keep me harder longer. It's not like, this isn't, I'm not web dating here. I don't have to keep on thrusting because I came too soon for someone.
Right.
What we like about it is the change in my mindset, and it's qualifiable. So that's great. Look at vibrators for women. I'm a lot older than you guys.
A little bit.
I'm older.
Not a lot.
Back in the 70s and 80s, when vibrators started to become popular or being commercialized for women, there was a whole thing about vibrator addiction and vibrator dependency, and this is going to be bad for women, bad for couples. Now they're normal. They're normalized.
Right.
If I told my wife, or if my son-in-law told, if my sons told that my daughter-in-laws, no more vibrators. You're vibrator dependent. You're vibrator addicted. Mm-hmm. They would look at them like, you want to get divorced? Are you crazy? They've normalized. So one of my missions, frankly, is to normalize erection rings for men.
Men should not
see these things as crutches. They should see them as enhancers, not as aids. But as potentiators of your pleasure and your confidence. So
I love it.
And all of that has a positive impact on your relationship with your partner, and which is what we talk a lot about. Now, Doctor, if folks want to get hold of you or see more about your products, and we're gonna include all this in our show notes, what's the best way for them to look at what you have and learn more?
Sure. Well, you could go to MyFirmTech, MyFirmTech.com. Go to our science section if you want to be our science section, or go to our blog section, you'll see that there are published papers. There's a lot of exciting research going on, because now, with an objective tool for assessing the sexual health of a man, men can actually look at, hey, do penis pumps work? Do I benefit from the testosterone? Mm-hmm. Is the P-shot going to help? Is Botox going to help? All these things. Often expensive things that are being recommended to men can be tested. Plus, you will also get important information about your cardiovascular health. You know, when I got about 2.5 years ago, we finally had a good prototype, and I saw that I had 3+ nocturnal erections per night, and I was getting over 90 to about 90 to 100 minutes of nocturnal erection time. I thought, gee, I just wasted $2 million because I'm in good health. No, that's stupid. I thought, oh my God, this is more, it's exciting to me as an electrocardiogram. I only said because I had, about 2 weeks ago, a guy called me up disappointed that he was normal. Well, I spent $275 and I'm normal.
That's so good.
Actually, that's
how about that. This has been a great conversation. We really appreciate you taking the time. And again, folks, he's in Montana, but that in and of itself, aside from the frequency of sexual contact.
But you can see him
contact,
no matter where you live, right? He's available for you anywhere you are.
Yeah. So folks, thanks so much for listening in. Go to this website, myfirmtech.com. Learn what you should learn and make the most of your relationship, your sexual relationship, and how it affects the rest of your relationship with your partner. We are the Bullets, TheBullitts. You can find us on all social media platforms. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Thanks so much.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.